Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a podcast by two dry millennials learning to live their most authentic life after booze.
Awesome. Hey, everyone. So this week we are welcoming Sarah and Olivia Sears, co-founders of the app Buzzcut, a soon-to-launch app that lets you find what bars and restaurants have mocktails and NA beer in your area. So hello. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I'm really excited about you guys being on because I feel like just especially in the last month with the sun coming out, we've gotten so many messages from people being like, hey, I'm in town. I'm in Portland for a show at like McMiniman's. Do you know of anywhere that has NA beer? And I went like to the McMiniman's website and was trying to find things and was like, I don't have this information. So this is like exactly what the community and the space needs. And we're so excited to learn more about you and talk about it.
So for sure.
I'll go ahead and just kick it off, pass it over to kind of each of you, but we can start with Sarah. Can you introduce yourselves for our audience and your pronouns and just kind of a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, so stoked to be here. Even just hearing that story adds to the fuel, right, of why this tool is so important. So we can't really wait to dive in and talk about it more. But my name is Sarah Sears, and I'm one of the co-founders of Buzzcut. Obviously, Olivia is the other one. I act as our CCO. I'm in charge of all creative development, brand marketing within Buzzcut. And my background is within creative advertising. So I've been within the advertising field for about 13, 14 years now, currently at ECD, Executive Creative Director here in Portland, at an incredible creative agency called For Good & Co. And, you know, Buzzcut is super, super important to me because of the connection I have to it in regards of my sobriety. And I can't wait to get in a little bit more about this, but just the fact that I wish I would have had a tool like this when, you know, even starting to think about stopping drinking over 5 years ago. So, you know, I'm just really excited about the tool and I'm really excited to talk about it.
Yeah, and I'm Olivia Sears, the other co-founder. I am also CEO, and I manage all of our kind of communications and partnerships. My background is in client service, so I work in the ad tech space for a company that works with a lot of mobile gaming clients. So definitely fields adjacent to apps and marketing and advertising. Sarah and I kind of brought our skill sets together to come up with and build. Well, not build. We didn't do the building, but ideate around the Buzzcut app. So I'm really excited to talk to you all more about, where Buzzcut, the idea came from, why we're here, what we're excited about.
I also realize my pronouns is she, her.
Oh, awesome.
Yes,
answer
thank
that
you.
Question.
We got really excited. My pronouns
two things
are also
to answer. Two things to answer. And I was like, you know what?
I love how excited you are. So let's just keep rolling with that. So Sarah, Olivia, your co-founders of this app, what is your relationship outside of Buzzcut?
Yeah, we have been married for a little over 3 years now. Thank you. We met a while ago in Chicago and then kind of found our way back to each other, got married shortly after reconnecting. It's a really great story for another time, another podcast. It's been really fun, being able to work together in this way and realizing how strong of a working relationship we have. I think we complement each other in so many ways. So that's been a really fun, just whole other kind of piece or side to the starting the business.
Yeah. My husband and I work together. Actually, we run a garbage recycling company. And while we work together really well, there are things that come up and it is
totally.
Just been like such a learning lesson about myself. So I'm really grateful for that. And I love that we have that in common.
Yeah.
My partner is a creative as well. And I think that there's, I also have like a close friend that I met in the industry who she's like an account manager and her husband is a designer. And I think there's just some sort of beautiful pairing.
Totally.
Like we are drawn to each other because we just admire yeah. what the other person is able to do. And yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, without, you know, our different roles and personalities, like Buzzcut wouldn't have been even possible. I think without one or the other, the evolution and development of the idea wouldn't have been able to happen, you know, which is such a cool factor in this whole brand, is that, you know, I think the equation had to be just right for it to kind of come to fruition. And that's a pretty cool thing to realize.
So, well, then that leads me to my next question. So how did Buzzcut come to fruition? Either or can you answer this and
I love letting Liv answer this, honestly.
Yes, yes. Now, I don't want to take all the credit, obviously, but it was my idea in terms of
in terms of
just like how I was thinking about it. And then I just vividly remember turning to Sarah and being like, I think we were in the car, and I was just like, I have this idea. And it was like a moment where I was like, I want to build an app, which is a huge thing to say out loud after you've kind of been noodling on it, right? But Buzzcut really came to my mind because whenever Sarah and I were going out, especially coming out of the pandemic, right? So backtracking, pandemic, you know, everyone kind of took their gaze a little more inward. Naturally, you know, we were at home. We both were kind of evaluating and understanding our relationship with alcohol. And, you know, coming out of the pandemic, it was like relearning what it meant to be outside of the house at bars and restaurants without alcohol. So it was like a whole new world. So every time we would go out, I would spend quite a bit of time looking at the store finders of some of our favorite non-alcoholic brands to see what restaurants or bars, or if we knew we were going to meet up with friends in a certain part of Portland, we would kind of search that part of Portland to see like, okay, if we're going to go out to a bar, at least we should be able to go to somewhere where we can order something that we feel confident about, you know, feel good about. We don't have to show up and it becomes this point of anxiety where we're like, is there a menu? Do I ask? Will the bartender think it's weird? Like what's going to be the situation? So I was like, wouldn't it be great if there was a place that aggregated all of these options? You know, there's so many NA brands. And even since that time when we were talking about potentially building something like this, there have been even more brands that have come to the market. So it's definitely yeah. like a huge focus on creating these amazing, complex, thoughtful products, right? So so at first I was just kind of noodling on like what the application of it would be. And then I was like, well, it has to be an app. You know, I think there's plenty of folks that have kind of done the hard work leading the path and the way with aggregating things on website based on just polling people for their cities and filling in the locations that way. But I think just having it in the palm of your hand when you know you want to go out with your friends or your family or you're traveling, whatever it might be, just being able to type your zip code and have it all come up takes like so much anxiety out of the equation, takes the guesswork out of the equation.
And plus like the spontaneity, you know, one of the most fun things of like enjoying life is having a moment where you're like, man, I really want to be out and do something, you know? And I think just earlier today we were talking about, we were actually looking at a test of the app, which was pretty exciting. but we were just talking about, you know, like being able to pull that out while traveling and type in the zip code and know that you can go find something, you know, and it's always like, it's never like, you know, you're just, you know, it's like you're walking around, you're like, I want to go somewhere else, you know, and I want to make sure that when I go there, that I have an option that I feel excited about, you know, that's not just soda or something.
Right. Well, and there's nothing more disappointing than agreeing to do something social and showing up and being like, oh, cool, I can drink a fucking soda.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
right.
It. Like, yeah. That's the only option for me. Or like my favorite. It's a lie, I'm lying. But my favorite is when I get the bar ginger ale. I'm like, if someone else serves me the bar ginger ale out of like the Sprite and the and then the bitter, and I'm like, I don't want that. That's not what I want. So I think that it's like such an amazing tool, like not only for harm reduction, but also just like for those of us who haven't drank in a long time, who rarely want to go out anyways. It's so nice to like have it insured, you know.
It should also be fun, You know, it yes. should, I think an interesting, you know, thing for me in my sobriety, and I'll be 3 years sober in August, one of the challenges, and I think this also is a part of the fruition of how Buzzcut came to life, was, you know, I wasn't really excited to like go out because I knew mm-hmm. it was going to be awkward, because I knew it was going to, there wasn't options. And honestly, when I, you know, stopped drinking, I didn't really know that there were options either, you know? And I think,
well, there weren't as many
totally for sure. Right. But there was like, at the time there was like Partake and like a few solid beer options. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but with the app, maybe there would have been more clarity with that. Right. But, my point being that, you know, I wasn't really excited to go out, but the whole point of Buzzcut is to like, it's vibrant and it's playful and it's loud and it's confident, because you should feel just as good, maybe sometimes better, when you go out and you can come home and feel good still. And the next day you can enjoy your day. And, you know, it's just like, we want the brand to be exuding confidence, because we want people to feel good no matter why they're not drinking, or if they choose halfway through the night to change, mm-hmm. there should still be this sense of excitement that I'm still drinking a really fun beverage and I'm out with my friends and it's good energy, you know? So like, that was a big like barrier for me when I first like started going out again, was like, I wasn't really excited to, because I knew I'd be met with awkwardness and, you know, weirdness of like, oh, you're drinking soda. It's like, well, it's my only option. So yes. So I feel like it's adding that energy and life back into like being able to choose to go out and know confidently that you're going to like go somewhere that has a fun option for you also.
Well, and I want to add there too, just like Olivia said, like we all had the opportunity to go inward during mm-hmm. COVID, right? And so the Sober Curious movement, and just people who are choosing not to drink tonight, you know, like
exactly.
the idea that, I mean, that's the Buzzcut is only encouraging that. And I think that's like, it's huge. I mean, I have so many friends that are having babies, right? Mm-hmm. And like, really involved in fitness and are just starting to take their health more seriously. And I think opening up the doors to people who mm-hmm. aren't only, like you said, it doesn't matter why you're not drinking tonight. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
To have that option is huge.
And that was a huge, like we were really intentional with our messaging when we were first getting started, right? Because maybe we could have very easily gone with like a sober forward app or mm-hmm. messaging or brand, but we intentionally kind of not avoided, but, you know, made sure to have a lot of diversity in our messaging, because it is not just for sober. It's not an app for sober people. It's an app for anybody who's looking to drink less or not at all, right? Like we think about a lot of use cases where, you know, somebody could be in a, like a rural town and didn't know that an option like that was out there. And if they did, would they switch to an NA drink for their second or third drink? And how does that change the trajectory of their evening or their like life, you know? So like all these moments that are like, that we want to have access points for people. And part of those access points comes with the impact of language. So that was definitely, you know, a big part of our thoughtfulness in the brand messaging.
Yeah, I love that so much, because that's kind of the space that we play in too, where it's like, you don't have to necessarily be like alcohol free to sit with us and to hang, mm-hmm. but like there's such a spectrum of like any sort of more conscious drinking is awesome. And we're so here for it. And even here for like the allies of people who want to, you know, use the app to see if there's like, they know that their friend doesn't drink and they're going out to dinner with them. Right. Like
totally.
It's nice to be in that space where it's not just like AA or absolutely no checks and balances with like, you know, any sort of drinking. So
so true.
Yeah. What's our tagline, Kaylee? We say, you don't have to be alcohol free to sit with us. You just have to be willing to question what's no longer serving you.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. so like, Buzzcut plays into that, I feel like, you know, so that's so cool.
Definitely.
So what does it even look like
getting
something like this off the ground, or like not even that far ahead, right? Like what Sarah, like, how did you feel when Olivia was like, I think we should build an app?
Yeah. Honestly, I was actually in the middle of building this very robust website for a client. And I was like, you want to do what? Because I was like, already in that kind of world. And obviously, it's not apples to apples building a website to an app. Actually, an app is much more complex, which mm-hmm. is why I was like, you want to do what? After 5 minutes of me questioning, wow, that's wild. I went, yeah, you're right. We should do it. And so just because of the emotional and energy that Liv had been constantly putting in the time to like find places for us to go that, mm-hmm. you know, had the options and, you know, for me, first and, you know, newly in sobriety, it was like made so much sense, you know, and honestly, it was like very emotional. And I was like, that's a really fucking smart idea. Holy shit. You know, after I kind of like sunk in the app thing. Yeah. Yeah. And mostly because you know, it was only daunting because I actually know what it takes to build an app and it's really expensive. And, you know, I just saw crazy things in my mind. And, but after really sitting into it and just looking at like the partnership that we have, like Liv and I, like I was just like, you and me, right? Like no problem. And so I think that was kind of like when I was like, let's go, let's do it. And then my next thing was pretty much like, what's it going to look like? You know, because that's my job. That's my job, right? Yeah. And so,
For anyone listening, it looks fucking dope. It is like so bright and exciting and like something that I love.
Pink.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah. That's all Sarah. And I'm pretty sure it was like the next day Sarah was building out the brand for it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much like immediately. Because like, I love it. It's my job. It's like, I love crafting brands and telling stories. And like, we're always talking about how we wish we could take our expertise and put it towards something that's really going to make an impact. Right. Because like, you know, and not that my work is super meaningful to me, you know, but it is like, we're selling things, you know, like that's kind of what we're doing. So to have the opportunity to use my design and creative direction and, you know, years of experience building something that's actually positive impact, which is something that's really important to me. I was like, say less, right? So I pretty much like, yeah, the next day started building just like things that were coming to mind. And the name itself is so creatively inspiring. You know, when you hear the word buzz cut, it's just like my mind went like a million directions.
Which I also came up with.
Okay, so when you were like, hey,
no, that was partnership. The buzz cut name.
Okay. So how long did it take you to come up with your name? Because our podcast name was so hard.
It was the hardest part of everything.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll give Liv credit that she came up with the name Buzzkill. And we both realized that name had too much intensity in it. And one day we both like, I would almost say simultaneously said Buzzkut. And
I love it.
And we were like, two Z's, it needs two T's because balance.
Yes, of course.
And but I will give credit that the word buzz and something else was from Liv, and then it was a partnership. And then, you know, we're just going to move on from that topic, right?
We'll just keep going. Well, and I want to make this tie with a little bow. When I was working with Reframe App, they are a alcohol-free and cut-back app. Mm-hmm. So I love that because that terminology is already happening in the space, like cutting back, right? Cutting out. You know, and so I think that draws a ton of parallels the space already. Mm-hmm. So I love it.
Yeah, and it implies 100%. It implies that you don't have to remove it completely, right? And I think like that's a really cool, you know, thing to showcase too is just like, that's not what we're like trying to do. We're trying to just help people have access points to NA options, right? Mm-hmm. Like at its bare, at its minimal.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going on a ramble about creative. You opened up a can of worms, you know. It's just
yeah. Well, and then so idea, create, like the creative aspect, yeah. The brand. What came next for you all?
It was just understanding what does it take to build an app? Because I mean, I had a loose understanding of that because of the industry that I'm in with, you know, how to measure performance of an app, you know, how to measure success when a new app is getting launched. Like I had some adjacent understanding, but, you know, really getting into the development work and the cost of that was very foreign to us. I mean, as is, you know, conversations about money and through the lens of like building a business, like, you know, obviously that's new to us too. So it was a lot of like figuring out all those pieces and then interviewing app developer agencies. So we interviewed a few. We were trying to decide like, do we want to work with an individual like that we know, or do we want to work like with a full service agency? And we definitely took the, because we both have full-time jobs. So
right. We
wanted it to be as off of our plates as possible in that regard. So
I love that.
Chose a developer agency and like signed a contract, got a lawyer, got to work. I mean, it was really fast. And then we fundraised. That was like the big moment for us, was launching our fundraiser, because we got a lot of media attention at that time, mostly regional and local media attention. So that just like really put us on the map. And then it was just about like communicating that this is a national app, because a lot of times people assume that since we're in Portland, that it's a Portland based or Portland specific, and
right. It's
national. So, you know, for anyone listening, you know, we really are passionate about any place that serves NA is going to be reflected in the app, you know, via the brands. So, and then the fundraiser was pretty successful. It was an incredible party, I will say, that we had, a big old sober bash. So that was really fun. And then we just kept on building. So that's where we've been the last several months.
Yeah, and we did do, when we started going, essentially out of the brand build, we did do a loose kind of mock-up of what we envisioned the app would be. So we did, you know, kind of proof, if you will, that it all made sense right before heading to the actual developers and having those conversations. There was that kind of stage. And then, I mean, the fundraising part was a blast, like such a wild experience. I think that really was the
validation,
the validation that this had to happen, you know?
There's a need.
Because, you know, like when we were building the brand and, you know, we were getting ready for the fundraiser, you know, we were still finalizing conversations with app developers and stuff like that, you know? And so we hadn't really had the conversations yet directly with the people, the consumers, the users who would be actually using the app. And at this event, at our fundraiser event, I couldn't believe just like the people that were coming up to us, and just like not only just alone the fact that it was a huge sober event or like in a event, but the fact that they were talking about, I just had this surgery and I can never drink again, and this app is going to do XYZ for me. And then, you know, people who were like 3 months not drinking, or someone who just like was sober curious, and just like it was really emotional, you know, it was like kind of crazy. Yeah.
We have the same experience.
I'm sure.
Podcast, I would say, sure. Kaylee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
I think, you know, when we hosted our co-hosted, we helped host a alcohol-free event. I don't know if we talked about this when we were all hanging out a week ago, but a man in his 60s and his wife, he's been sober for 40 years, like working in the AA program. Mm-hmm. He came in, and I mean, they were on date night. He was wearing like his cowboy boots and his like Wrangler jeans and his shirt tucked in. It was just adorable. And he came in and he started crying. He was like, my wife and I haven't been able to go anywhere where alcohol isn't, you know,
the focus.
The focus. And it was really, I'm just crying listening to you too. So clearly I was not okay when he said that, but it's impactful. Mm-hmm. And I think that like we talk about this all the time on the podcast, but like, we're not this or that, it's this and that for everything all the time. Mm-hmm. And there's always a need for in the middle. So I think it's great.
So true. And if it impacts, I think especially about like people who are not in big cities, you know, in terms of impact.
Yes.
Like, I think our biggest peer or competitor, whichever you want to use, you know, focuses on big cities, and the mm-hmm. restaurants or bars kind of, I think, pay to be in the app, because it's not everywhere that serves an A, mm-hmm. it's certain establishments, right? So who does that exclude, or who does that leave out if you're only focused on big cities and certain type of clientele, you know, or certain yeah. type of people that are going to go there? So like, if there's, you know, rural bars in Ohio that are making a conscious choice to carry Athletic, for example, how cool is that? And people might not know that it's there. And if it was, how could that change their life, you know, or just for the night, whatever it is.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I work, our business, our garbage recycling company, is a rural company. Mm-hmm. So we pick up in, none of those areas we pick up in have more than like 5,000 people as part of the population.
Oh, wow.
So mm-hmm. we pick up four, like there's seven different unincorporated areas. I'm sorry, that's really annoying. My alarm just went off again. It's supposed to be for 7 a.m.
That is a terrifying alarm.
I know.
That is, it's like an abduction.
Not great for my nervous system. Oh my, I like immediately start definitely the day with up, like huh? 160.
In a panic.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, why do we do that? Like, shouldn't we wake up to like, you know,
birds singing,
yeah. birds and stuff? Yeah. Mine's like, eh, eh, eh. It's
I
like,
know.
It's what kind awful. Of life is this we're waking up to? What's the matter with
not
this?
A great one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I think that there's a huge need for that. And I do feel like, especially, you know, with you all living in Portland, there is a big focus on a certain demographic sometimes, yeah. and cities with a certain population and with a certain, like, you know, white collar populations. And I do think that a lot of blue collar communities and smaller communities are left out of that equation. So I think it's, I'm super excited to hear about that.
And what's wild about that, you know, is like when you think about the communities that are often most heavily impacted by alcoholism
yes, exactly.
and substance misuse,
yeah.
you know, it's overwhelmingly like marginalized communities. So
totally.
That's definitely been, and it kind of ties into one of our missions with the app is when we get to a place where we are profitable and making money, we're committed to giving back to organizations that support recovery in like LGBTQ+ communities and BIPOC communities, which often intersect the recovery communities in those communities. So it's definitely something we're very cognizant of in our approach, in our journey.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it all started for me in a small town in Ohio. So it's like,
yeah,
I totally get it. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm from a small town in Michigan.
Oh, nice.
So Midwest.
I know. Isn't it funny that everyone's like, Michigan and Ohio? Ugh.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. We're friends.
Down.
I mean, friends. Sports.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Sports. Whatever. College football. Calm down. Although Olivia's family would disagree with me because her
That's
brother
true.
Went to OSU and played on
oh my God.
Lacrosse. Yeah. So.
And I actually really like sports, which is
oh, me too. I mean,
fun fact. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun facts.
We just went all around there. We're like, screw sports. We love sports.
Yeah. Just kidding. I'm hyper competitive.
Yeah.
And it's funny. My husband doesn't watch sports. Well, soccer, but I'm like a around the clock like
sports person.
Every season.
Oh, cool.
I love that.
Do you watch boxing? Just curious.
I don't watch boxing. Okay. Do you watch boxing?
Yeah, I fight.
Cool.
I have two
oh
fights
my gosh. Well, I'm
going
to start watching boxing now because
I
say this to everyone. I love anything where there's a winner and a loser. Like, it's just how it is.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. And we need the deets on your fight, Sarah. So not now, maybe, but
I
want to
go.
Please.
We watch the MMA fights here. We have a friend who's in jiu-jitsu and he got us into them. So
yeah, great.
We love it.
That's great.
Come. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It'll be a wild weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's next for Buzzcut? What's happening? What's on the docket?
Yeah. Lots coming up for sure. We are super excited to announce very soon our official launch date, like where the app will be live for anyone to download. That is coming soon. Originally it was projected for June and it's looking like like it's going to be before June. So,
wow. Yes. Oh my God.
Hot off the press. I know. When does that ever happen?
You heard
right?
it here.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
You're ahead of your timeline. Pod.
Yeah. So we'll be announcing that probably on our Instagram and our newsletter soon. But in any case, the launch to celebrate, or the party to celebrate said launch, will be June 17th. So fast approaching an event here in Portland that is just going to be like a giant alcohol-free bash.
Fun.
There's a DJ. There's Jello wrestling. There's a llama. There's a photo booth. It's like, it's just going to be a blast. Lots of fun vendors.
Yeah, a lot of amazing vendors will be there, including Parch. Parch, yeah. Recess, cool. Athletic, Joyous, all approach. The fun.
We love Joyous.
So good. Yeah, it's the best.
Shout
it's
out to Jess.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So that's obviously our big focus is launching the app. But, you know, from there, it's like we're continuing to raise money. We're looking into some investors, angel investors, just to continue to fund iterations and improving of features in the app. We have a lot of exciting plans for like community features in the app, you know, being able to look at, you know, different NA news, resources, all sorts of like community features like that, you know, stuff that you can add to your profile. So that's definitely in the works. But obviously, the most important part was getting the tool, the map available to people. So that's been our priority up until this point. Yeah,
I think Buzzcut will continue to become more than just an app and more about a community and a lifestyle and, you know, again, like a confidence booster in like the decisions you're making for yourself. And I think the app is just like, you know, a pillar of that lifestyle. And so again, like just rooting it back to just people feeling good about the decisions they're making for themselves, no matter for what reason, you know, just from like personal experience, again, like getting back out there or just like making that choice is like very overwhelming. And I think, you know, the societal shift that's happening is like a really amazing thing that we're all kind of seeing happening, but it will take time for it to be fully in full swing. So I think continuing to give these tools to people to feel confident in the decisions they're making is something that will always be at the root of Buzzcut and will continue to like drive forward that social media presence, just because I think giving people a space, you know, there, and then inevitably that becoming a space within the app, you know, to Liv's point, having a very community forward presence in the app will be huge. Like we want people like talking and, you know, meeting up and doing hangouts and NA bar crawls, like get ready for those.
Oh my God. Okay.
That's on our radar.
That's on the radar. Yeah. And so I think it's just all about, again, like how do you make people feel good in their bodies and in their minds and souls, right? Because it takes guts to go against the grain. And so how can all of us who are doing that for ourselves, like come together and lift each other up?
Yeah. Sarah talks a lot about rebelling. Like you're rebelling for good. Like it used to be that rebelling meant you were like, you know, smoking cigs and
being bad.
Doing bad things. You know?
That was literally me.
Yeah, totally. We can relate.
Like that probably do a whole other podcast episode on advertising specifically around, you know, like anything that's not good for you essentially, right? And just kind of the fallacies that are lying within these, like, you know, advertisements of what this actually looks like and feels like, when in fact it's really not that at all. And I think, again, like one big pivot for me in my life was realizing that there's a couple things, realizing that rebelling to be bad, to be cool or good was really bad. It was very confusing. And then to stop drinking, which was such a core fundamental part of my persona, if you will, this like quote, right? Like this, like, oh, like who am I without the Manhattan in a rocks glass with no ice in the corner? You know, it was like such a weird thing to like have to figure out. And I'm sure
relearning.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a weird thing. And that's why these NA beverages that I can now have one in hand and feel fucking cool still, you know, like you weren't the life of the party because of the alcohol. The alcohol actually suppressed that. You were the life of the party just because you were the life of the party, you know? And so that's like a huge part of Buzzcut is like reminding people like, no, you're still awesome. You are awesome. You were awesome before, you know, it's like, again, it kind of like roots in that, that refinding yourself a little bit, you know, finding that confidence.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kaylee.
I was going to say too, I just really love the community aspect of it. I was reading, I can't remember if it was like Jerry News. That's usually my like source.
Yeah. I use Jerry News.
Yeah. But about like they're saying that like loneliness, probably like as a result of COVID, they've done some studies. And of course I haven't like deep dive into this to like, you know, do a bunch of research on it, but that it's like really significantly impacting our health. And they're like comparing it to like smoking cigarettes, like loneliness is the new, you know.
Yeah, they're calling it like the loneliness epidemic. And there's this like false sense of community and connection because of the internet, right? But we're not actually doing things in person together.
Totally.
And so I was piggybacking off of what Kaylee was saying about that, like meeting up with people in real life and sharing these things and having an NA drink is, I mean, that's
huge. Well, and we forget sometimes too that like our friend group kind of had a significant shift where a lot of the people that we went out and partied with and like, you know, closed down bars with all kind of had this collective sort of either like health situations, but that is not the case. So we will have like girls events now and hang out and no one's really drinking and it's not that big of a deal, but there's a lot of people that follow Dry Hard or that like are in our chat group that they are the only person that they know that doesn't drink. And so their primary connection in that way is through social media. And sometimes we have a hard time with that too, because we're like, I want to talk to you all on, you know, DMs, but I'm just so burnt out. So having that like option to be in person with a bunch of people who have gone through similar things as you and who are on the same path and, you know, supportive regardless of where they are on the spectrum of like alcohol use, you know, they're all there to like be an ally. And
absolutely.
I don't know, especially you do get more introverted, especially like within the first year, and you learn to love like yourself and your alone time.
Yeah.
So it's really satisfying to, when you do go out, have it be an experience that you can leave and have it be really positive and be like, okay, yes, this is good for my mental health. I need to do this at least once a month. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was going to say that like Kaylee was just telling me this on the phone. She was like, Katie, I went out and I did so many social things with people who I feel fulfilled by. And it was amazing. Like, why don't I do this more? You know? And it's like, for me, like I literally have to be coaxed out of the house. Like I go to the gym and I think that that's a lot of my social time. And I'm really grateful for that too. But yeah, I would love to meet up with people in real life and have it not be something that I organize, right? Like that's why I think that this whole idea with Buzzcut in that community is great, because it's a shared labor of love versus Dry Hard Pod is hosting this event.
Right.
Or et cetera. True. I just think that we all do so much for the community and for ourselves. And it's going to be great to have a hub for that as well. So,
yeah, I can't wait for those parts. Something came to my mind when you were talking about like social media, because I manage a lot of our social media and like interactions with people, and I'll be on my Buzzcut feed on Instagram and I'm like, wow, like everyone's sober, like everyone's sober and so excited about it.
No one's drinking at all anymore.
I know. And then I go and then I switch over to my personal one and it's like people partying. I'm like, oh, I'm in like my social media bubble. And then once you go outside of that, it's like you really realize like, yeah, you know, there's definitely a good amount of people like evaluating and understanding and thinking about it, their relationship with alcohol, but overwhelmingly it's still very much the norm, you know, like especially, I mean, when I travel for work, Yes. A lot of what I travel for work is all about drinking. I'm about to go to a big conference and, you know, it's just like, it reminds you how mainstream and how much it's still very much a part of everything we do. Yeah. I mean, every meeting that I'm having is a drinking occasion. That's just like what it is, what's expected, you know? So it's just like, it's a good practice to like experience that and then come back and reflect. And then like, how do you continue to share your experiences, you know, connect with people about it? Because even just planting very small seeds, like obviously, you know, we're not here to judge anybody who is drinking, not drinking, whatever it is. It's just like being able to plant seeds and share experiences. Just maybe people think about it differently the next time they're out at a bar. Mm-hmm. Or like maybe they switch to an NA option that they found via bus cut. You know, it's like there's just so many different access points. So we just keep saying that, you know, like access points for people that it's just really exciting.
It's interesting that you mentioned that about work. Kaylee just had this big work trip, and so that was her own thing with that. But I just interviewed two people to help me in the office, and both of them during our interviews brought up alcohol. About like, can't, like, you know, 5 o'clock somewhere, one of them said, and then another one was like, you know, they were trying to rub elbows with me and like be relatable by talking about alcohol. They weren't doing it because of any, you know, anything else. And it's still, I'm not used to that. I'm very much so in my bubble, right, with my partner who doesn't drink, and our co-parents that we have don't drink alcohol anymore either. Like, we're all just the people in this bubble. Totally. So it's really interesting. And I was just like, oh, yeah. Like, that's how it was when I first started all this, too. It's just hard to remember that. Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up, Olivia.
I almost like being reminded a little bit. It's kind of like what you said, Sarah. Like, having the mindset shift to be like, yeah, it is really brave what I'm doing, and it is hard sometimes. And but I am so proud of myself for making this decision, and I feel so good about myself. And like ordering that drink and, you know, that NA drink in front of my coworkers, and just like being, I mean, 2.5 years in now, so like firmer in my decision to be like, I just don't do that. I mean, sometimes it can lean the other way and I can be a like, you know, like I have my judgmental moments.
My alcohol free Corona.
It is. I love the bubble. I love the alcohol free sober curious fam, like on Instagram in real life, but it is like almost important to have that reminder that you are doing something rebellious and against the grain. And that is a powerful statement. And you're, every time you're doing that, you're showing up as a permission slip for someone else who either has been struggling internally or never thought about it, but is now, you know, seeing it play out. And that's starting to like change those mindsets. I don't know. I think it's cool to show up in spaces where you're not, you are the odd person out, although it is very hard. So having a community is also very helpful.
Definitely.
Kaylee, we were just talking about this and I feel like it plays in so well. Okay. So I follow Mel Robbins on Instagram, and she just said this thing that like people make change comes from two different things, either desperation or inspiration. And we get a lot of flack in the sober community about like, oh, it's a fad, like it's cool, you know, blah, 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 whatever. The big like tabloids like to do that shit during Dry January or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
We were so pissed about that.
I was so salty this January.
But what I am seeing, and what I think this ties into all that we're talking about and like being that permission slip is that like the more people that are inspired by Kaylee ordering an NA beverage, the less people that are in like they're in desperate situations, right?
Totally
The more people who are able to make change out of inspiration, the less people are suffering in desperation. And I think that that's like why we're fucking doing this.
Yes.
I mean, for me anyways. And yeah, dude,
that's really powerful. Thank you for sharing that. It's a beautiful way to look at it, and it's so true. And I think it kind of reminds me of, I think when we had our initial chat, you guys, we talked about how I don't identify as sober because I feel like, you know, people who are sober, it carries with, you know, a certain experience that led to that that point, you know, in a lot of cases. And I don't feel like it's appropriate for me to claim that identity when I just never cared about alcohol to begin with. It just wasn't a part of my life really, you know. But what is so beautiful about having a sober partner is that even though I wasn't interested in alcohol in general, and, you know, I'd have like a glass of wine maybe sometimes, like whatever. But now I haven't drank, not really intentionally, but I just haven't drank in like, I don't know, like 2 months or something, because I was on vacation. Sarah and I were on vacation in Palm Springs, magical place.
We love Palm Springs.
It's the best. And we were at dinner and, you know, by the pool and everything. And every time I thought about, like, naturally out of habit, ordering a drink by the pool or whatever, I thought to myself, Sarah is here sober, enjoying being completely present with me. Why would I want to take myself away from that presence and not be 100% present? It makes me emotional. Not be 100% present with her. And it was just like this light bulb moment where I had never thought about it that way. And, you know, why would I remove myself from that space 100% with her? So I didn't drink that entire vacation. I didn't. And it was so beautiful. Like, I felt like we were just 100% there with each other the whole time. And it was just, and then we came back and I kind of just, every time I thought about occasions where maybe I would like have a glass of wine or something, I'm like, why would I do that right now? I feel so in this moment, why would I remove myself from it? You know? So it's just been that experience, you know, hopefully resonates with some folks who are like, yeah, I didn't really care about alcohol, but now I'm choosing not to partake in it just because it offers me something else, you know, that I didn't know it could offer me. So it's just been really powerful. Yeah. And now I get so excited about like just enjoying a fun beverage that doesn't have alcohol and just enjoying being present.
And you're hydrated AF right now.
So hydrated.
You're like, yeah, all the water.
The most
so
hydrated
much water.
With my baby water bottle.
Yes. Yes.
I've
yes.
got my mason jar.
Yes.
Are we all going to share?
Yes.
Yes.
Hydration.
Okay, but we need some buzz cut stickers.
I was just going
to
say that.
We need to get on this. We need to get on this train.
Yeah. They're cool.
You two are so awesome. I so appreciate this conversation. And I just want to ask like a couple more things.
Of course.
Before we log off for today. Yeah. But is there anything that you wanted to talk about that pertains to yourselves or Buzzcut that we haven't covered on the episode so far?
Man, I feel like we were really thorough. Yeah, honestly.
We got in there.
Yeah. We just did it.
That's what we wanted, right? That's
pretty cool. Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is Buzzcut going to be available to both Android and iPhone users?
Great question. It sure is.
What? Yay! That's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really tried to rep reframe and like hang in there with them. But when, I mean, it got to a point where only Apple users had access and I was just like, this has to change. It has to change.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that that's a huge accessibility issue. So yes, both platforms for sure.
Mm-hmm. It was one of the first things we told the devs.
The developers. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So true. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then, what's my other question? So we know we have a launch date. It might launch before that. How do we go to your launch party?
Yeah, we have an Eventbrite page for anybody near Portland or surrounding areas that would like to spend a Saturday afternoon evening with us. You can sign up or buy tickets there, RSVP. And, you know, we don't want anybody to not to attend due to lack of funds. So please, you know, email us if there's some considerations there in terms of cost. We want you to join us if you are in the area, right? So tickets are there.
I'm just gonna throw this out there. I will sponsor someone too. So if someone reaches out to you, let me know. Like,
thank
would
you.
Love to buy
that's
some
really special. Yeah. Thanks, Katie.
Yeah.
And some details. The tickets are $12, but with tickets, you get 2 free NA bevies.
When you get there.
When you get there. So from a choice of recess, athletic, and approach. Recess is they'll be doing both adaptogen and CBD options, so there'll be 2 options there. and then Athletic, which we all know and love, and yes. then Approach, which is a CBD drink. So you get two free drinks with purchase, and then the first 50 people to RSVP get a koozie to have.
Buzzcut koozie.
Of course.
Oh, I love a koozie.
Love it.
Yeah. So we want to get the, you know, the whole point of, you know, the launch event is obviously to celebrate the app, but also to highlight other people in the NA and alcohol-free community who are doing some mm-hmm. amazing things, right? So those brands are like at the forefront of everything that we're doing, because they're also doing a shit ton of work to bring, you know, just like delicious and fun and exciting options to, you know, us folks who don't want to have an NA beverage forever or for the night or whatever. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're getting those folks in the hands of our consumers and attendees.
And I just realized we didn't say where it is.
Where is it?
For Bitter For Worse is a wonderful brand doing amazing things. We love Shelly and her family's commitment to the brand and the product. But they have a warehouse in North Portland. It has a really cool like outdoor space and like big parking lot. It's like it's perfect for an event, and they usually host events there. So she's hosting us essentially. And she'll have like, they have a really cool bar that they set up. So they'll be serving like mixed, you know, drinks with For Bitter For Worse, and Parch will have a table. Wilderton will have a table. Goyaki Yerba Mate will have a table.
I think
that's everyone. Approach, Parch. Yep. Athletic, Pink Cloud, CBD.
Oh, cute. I just saw Pink Cloud. I took a picture.
Obsessed.
I'll post it with
so
this.
So good.
I'll post it with this episode because I took a picture of it at Market of Choice.
Yes.
Keely. It is so fucking.
It's so and it's so fucking delicious. It's literally like her marketing about how it tastes like vacation and it's like tropical vibes. It literally makes you feel like you're on a beach. It's the best.
That's
Sierra. She's absolutely wonderful. She'll be there. And then Joyous, our pal Jess, will be there too, serving samples and selling. So.
Just a fun double back here. Yeah. So Recess sent Kaylee and I like a bunch of products a couple years ago. And we took it to Palm Springs.
Yay!
And we went on a little sober vacay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Recess is that's a great place to have Recess.
Seriously.
I know. I thought so.
Have you guys had the strawberry rose mood one?
No, not yet. I haven't had
that
one. Have I?
I like dream about it. Like I look forward to it.
It's her favorite. Yeah.
It's so good.
It's my favorite.
I like the peach. Is it the peach? What's the?
Yeah, there's a peach one.
There's a peach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, their branding is really awesome too. I just love. We're just so like, what a beautiful time to be choosing not to drink. You know, there's just so many amazing brands that
lucky.
That we get so excited. Like, I just genuinely, you know, get so excited about. So it's just really fun to know that other people are going to be able to experience and explore them too.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. And then where can we follow you? Where can we find out more deets? What's the handle?
The handle. I'll drop the handle. It's Buzzcut Co. 2 Z's, 2 T's. That's definitely where we're most active in terms of sharing updates and info. But we do, for those not on Instagram, we feel you. We have a newsletter that you can sign up for on our website. So anytime we have any like major updates, you know, things going on, we definitely send that out in our newsletter that has like a good solid amount of people on there. So I think that's definitely a place people are interested in hearing updates at. So definitely sign up for that too.
I'll make sure that I put the link to that in the show notes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your episodes.
Excellent.
Yay. Cool. And I'm so excited it was so fun to talk to you both, but also just so excited personally, selfishly, because I do live in Portland for this event and just for what you all are doing with the community, but also just so excited to hear that it's going to be something that'll be available wherever you live, especially when it's a lot harder to find those options. So thank you for all that you're doing on top of your full-time job. To like, give back and put into
thank you
maybe
so
we
much.
Can do an episode on advertising like you were talking about, Sarah, and also how you balance what you're doing in your life with all the things, because our listeners fucking love
that'd
to
be a
hear
fun one for
about
me.
they just, you know, love to hear about like how people are doing it, like how are we doing it all, because we're not doing it all, right? We're just doing 10% some days.
Yep.
Yeah, we're just doing our best.
So true.
My favorite example is like you have a stovetop and you have a pot on each burner. And sometimes you have this one on high, but you cannot have all of them boiling at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. So it's always like, and I have like an advertising pot, boxing pot, marriage pot, you know, relationship. And then what else do I have? Oh, art. That's my four pots. Mm-hmm. Those are my four pots.
Oh, well, you got a buzz cut. You have a buzz cut yeah. one too.
Well, yeah, we got to find a fifth burner.
Yeah.
So see, I'm essentially telling you that I am having a hard time.
It's all, everything's overflowing. Yes.
We are all, well, I was going to say, so I actually use the front burner, back burner analogy all the time. Oh, nice. We have our daughter 1 week on and 1 week off. And so I always say like, well, you know, kiddo's on the front burner this week, so I am not available.
There you go.
Yeah,
it's finally nice to hear someone who uses the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool.
It's so fun. Man. Awesome. Well, really appreciate you guys. We had such a great time, like in our initial chat when we got to know each other. And then like today, just really appreciate all the dialogue and honesty you know, just realness. So.
Yeah. Come back. We love
you. Yeah. You tell us when.
Also,
we can just chat whenever you want, really.
Yeah.
I feel like we should just say that, like, Kaylee and I, Dry Hard, will be at your event.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Representing
yes. right so, now.
Let's do a live podcast from the event.
Oh my gosh, we should.
Oh my gosh, that would definitely be so go live. Cool. I would need to, like, get my partner to do AV for us.
Yeah.
For sure. We'll That's have a videographer fun. There.
We will have a videographer and photographer.
Just capture a little side podcast episode.
Oh,
little epi.
Yeah. Cool.
A little epi.
Epi.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you. And for any listeners, if you have questions about today's episode or how to get a hold of either Sarah or Olivia at Buzzcut, just hit us up. Let us know.
Yeah, reach out.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.